Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan.
Maulavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, scholars, and ulama during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. Two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, two Islamic scholars, are invited to today's episode of the program The Teacher, Shaykh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Khadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about another important Shiite dignitary and personality, a faqih, muhaddis, hakim, who was known by the title of Shaykhul Islam during the Safavid era. He is no one but Muhammad ibn Izzuddin Hussain, mainly known as Shaykh al-Baha'i or Baha'uddin al-Amili. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the early life and biography of Shaykh al-Baha'i.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shaykh Baha'uddin al-Amili was born in the 17th of Muharram in Baalbek, which is a place in Juba, one of the villages nowadays in Lebanon. So his father was Izzuddin Hussein ibn Abd al-Samad Harithi, one of the students of or the companions and friends of Shahid al-Thani.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he was one of the great scholars whose forefathers were also among the great scholars of Shiite in the history of the Shayu. It is said that after 1 year of his family actually went to Jabal Amil, and after the Shahada of Shahid al-Thani, since they did not feel secure, they were invited by Shah Tahmasp, the King Tahmasp, the first Tahmasp, and then they encouraged him to come to Iran, to Persia, and the Isfahan.
So originally he belonged to an Arab region, isn't it? Jabal Amil?
Yeah, it is. Yes. It is mentioned in biography.
Yes.
So, but of course, he became among the great and very influential, let's say, Shiite scholars in the Safavi period. Then, of course, when it comes to his works, his lifestyle, his services to Islam and to the Shayu, particularly building lots of, let's say, buildings and we can say great kind of buildings that was built by this great alim or designed actually by this great Shi'i scholar. We can say that he was a kind of exceptional figure in the history of Islam. And it is said that Shaykh Baha'i in 971, together with his father, they were in Mashhad.
Yes.
And for some years they went to Herat, because at that time all these cities belonged to one Safavid, let's say, empire.
Yes.
And then they moved to Qazwin, and finally they went to for Hajj, for this pilgrim to Ziyarah of Baytullah al-Haram. And also he stayed in Qazwin for some years and taught there for many, let's say, students.
That's all right. Okay. But it seems that Shaykh Fadai, again, his main achievements took place in the city of Isfahan during Safavid era. And so many of the most outstanding achievements, whether scholarly, whether artistic or literary speaking, were taking place in the city of Isfahan. Give us a picture of Isfahan on that time. What was it like? I mean, so many opportunities were given to this ulama to bloom, it's better to say, and to shine in the sky of Islam on that time. How was it exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, in the time of Safavid era, Isfahan was the political center of that empire.
Yes.
And this is one of the reasons. And the other reason that mostly the kings in Iran, at that time it was called Persia.
Yes.
The Persian kings mostly had a good relationship and connection with the knowledge and scholars.
Yes.
You know, it was not like, for example, Mongolian kings or, I don't know, some rare kings in the time of Pahlavi, for example, Reza Khan. They were
even contemporary to them, we had Ottoman empires.
Yes,
Ottoman were not empire. That much.
Yeah,
yes,
we had some empires that usually they tried to oppose knowledge because they thought that knowledge is their enemy. Mm-hmm. They wanted people to be down or to be free of knowledge in order to be their slaves.
Yes.
But in Iran, mostly, of course, I don't want to defend all the Iranian kings.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe most of them were oppressors.
Yes.
In the field of social mm-hmm. aspects.
Yes.
I'm talking about,
say, for example, they got some problems in their personal lives.
Yeah, personal. Life.
That's right.
But,
lifestyle.
But
generally, they were
when
pro
you consider knowledge.
Yes.
Usually, the great kings of Iran, they had a good relation and connection with these scholars, especially Islamic scholars. Because of that, at that time, we had a lot of scholars in Isfahan. Isfahan, as I told you, was the center of empire of Iran. It was a political center. So Sheikh Baha'i had this opportunity because, as my brother mentioned, he was born in Lebanon at that time and he didn't have enough security to live there. One of his teachers, Shahid, his father's teacher, Shahid Thani, was martyred at that time in Lebanon. And you can see the security of scholars in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
When they want to have a secure life, they had to travel to Iran.
Yes.
So he had this opportunity, like some other scholars in Iran and Isfahan, to improve his knowledge. But the main difference between Sheikh Baha'i and the other, we can say that he used this opportunity more than the others.
Mm-hmm.
He could have a comprehensive character, learning and teaching a lot of fields of studies,
yes,
and then applying them. For example, designing a lot of building, I don't know, having a lot of great students like Mullah Sadra, like Allama Majlisi, the writer of Biharul Anwar, like Faiz Kashani, the writer of Al-Wafi.
Yes.
These great figures were the students of Sheikh Baha'i.
Thank you very much.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
So, Sheikh Rouhani, Sheikh Baha'i was a polymath and allama, is better to say. Because when we take a look at the most outstanding, even architectural, artistic works all across Persia at that time, in Isfahan, in Ghazvin, in Mashhad, you know, in the holy shrine of Imam Reza alayhi salam, you can find the traces of the artistic works and fingerprints, it's better to say, of Sheikh al-Baha'i. How is it possible for a man to cover all these different fields of studies?
Yes, of course, as you rightly mentioned, when it comes to the scholarly position of these great Allama, Sheikh Baha'i, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi, we see that he was a master of Islamic sciences, different Islamic sciences, as you rightly mentioned, in the chain of, for example, permissions of transmission. He is considered among the most, let's say, distinguished 12 Shia narrators of hadith. And many chains of permission in recent centuries reach him, and through him reach his father, and then to Al-Shahid Athani. And of course, he deeply studied the exegesis of the Holy Quran. He was also one of the great exegetes of the Quran. And of course, the most, let's say, important effort of Sheikh Baha'i was giving explanation for the new meanings given for, let's say, the classification of hadiths by recent scholars. According to him, let's say, the long period of time between recent scholars and early scholars and the probability of the loss of the original references of narrations and the mistakes between hadiths trusted by early scholars and other hadiths, and actually the blocking of the ways to distinguish hadiths authentic to early scholars,
yes,
made recent scholars propose new kind of definition for previous kind of classification,
yes,
of such as a hadith.
Yes.
So that's why you see that, as you rightly mentioned, he was a kind of artist,
yes,
when it comes to architectural kind of works. But I think the most important point regarding him is this fact that I mentioned regarding the hadith, regarding the translation,
yes,
explanation of the ayat, new kind of exegesis, new, yes, kind of interpretation of the ayat. These are all the things that make him most outstanding scholar in the history. Yes.
Considering himself as a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being an abd, you know, working under the shadow of Sharia, having always Sharia in his mind was always important. And after all his studies, he was truly an alim. In one, we can say, beautiful poem in the Persian language, he says, Chand o chand az hikmat yunaniyan, hikmat imaniyan ra ham bedan. We can say, how much do you want to talk about the philosophy or the hikmah of the Greeks? Tell something about the hikmah or the wisdom and philosophy of believers, okay? It shows that, or for example, صرف شد عمرت به بحث نحو و صرف از اصول عشق هم خوان یک دو حرف. Okay, how much of your life has been spent in, for example, the Arabic articulation or syntax and semantics, okay? Know something even about love. This is, in fact, referring to the true knowledge, that is the true ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we differentiate between science and knowledge now. And Sheikh Baha'i was famous for defending true knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it, Sheikh Fadai?
Yes, of course. And, you know, besides, he was a real believer, as you mentioned, and he believed that the real knowledge is the knowledge of God, is, yes, ma'rifatullah. We can see that he was not disconnected with the modern sciences.
Mm-hmm.
He had the two sides together, two aspects together.
Yes.
One of the wrong beliefs nowadays is that some people believe that religion and science, they are opposing each other. They are some different aspects of human life. It is not like that. You know, the great masters of even modern sciences,
yes,
were Islamic scholars,
yes,
were some arifs. You know, for example, just in the field of architecture,
yes,
we can see that in Isfahan, in Najaf, and in Mashhad,
yes,
he designed some architecture that, yes, even modern architectures nowadays, they do not know how is the design, how, yes, is it possible, yes, to design something like that. So,
for example, the Sheikh Lutfullah Mosque in Isfahan, the dome which is over there echoes your voice for seven, yes, times. How is it possible, for example, that seven times? Or, for example, inventing a clock which does not need to be set or arranged, okay?
Yes.
There is also a wall, beautiful wall, they say, in Imam Ali Holy Shrine, which in the afternoon shows how the sun sets, okay?
Yes.
So, as you said, they were both under the umbrella of Sharia,
yes,
but they were concerned with the science and scientific achievements.
It is a beautiful combination, yes, of knowledge of God,
yes,
and knowledge of human. Both, mm-hmm, of them are needed, and Islam is not far from modern sciences. Islam is covering modern sciences, but unfortunately nowadays in our Hosa, we do not work on that. And because of that, some people believe that our Hosa is enemy of knowledge, mm-hmm, modern sciences. And of course, it is not. And we can understand that,
okay,
if we search about these figures like Sheikh Baha'i.
That's right. Okay. That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the life account of Sheikh Baha'iddin al-Ameli, mainly known as Sheikh al-Baha'i. Some days before his death, he paid a visit to Baba Rukn al-Din Shirazi's holy tomb. Muhammad Taqi Majlisi also accompanied him over there. For 7 days he was sick. According to his last will and testament, his body was taken into his old madras, where he used to teach over there in vicinity of the holy shrine of Imam al-Reza alayhi salam in the city of Mashhad, and he was buried over there. Today, his tomb is the visiting place, and so many pilgrims, when they go to Mashhad, they pay the visit to the holy tomb of this outstanding man, Sheikh al-Baha'i. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.